I'm so pleased to have with me right now Maxwell Groves, the Green Party candidate for Northumberland Peterborough South. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much for having me, Robert.
So let's start from the very beginning. Who is Maxwell Groves?
You know, I'm just an ordinary person. I was born and raised in Port Hope, born in Port Hope Hospital, went to PHHS. I'm about as typical as it gets. I spent the last 16 years living in Toronto. A good part of that was working under the Ministry of Health. Working in an IT role, I got to be in the room when a lot of very important high-level conversations were going on. It was a learning experience, to say the least. Now I find myself with an election looming, and it just seems crazy to me what our current government is doing. They've called an election because there's tariffs. I don't understand Doug's rationale. Any sort of aggression from the United States would be a federal issue. So I've decided I've had enough. It's time to do something.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago that you were an IT person for the Ministry of Health. What do you do for a living?
So I got a buyout in September. So right now, this is my full-time job, campaigning. My official position was IT support coordinator at the Ontario HIV Treatment Network.
Now, do you have a family?
I don't have any children of my own. I do have an extended family with members of various generations in it, though.
Now, you alluded a bit to what made you want to run, but before we get into the issues and before we get really deep into that, I'd like to know, what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? That's a great question. I love learning. I've been a lifelong learner. Right now, I'm studying HVAC and how heat pumps work. I like to canoe. I like to hike. Basically, anything that moves my body, because unfortunately, being an IT person, I don't move around nearly as much as I should. So anytime I can gamify that, that's typically what I'm doing.
What is your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. I love a good craft beer.
What's your favorite right now?
My favorite right now? Oh gosh, that is a good question. I don't know. I can't say I have a favorite beer. I have a couple favorite breweries. Can I say that instead?
Sure.
There's Rorschach by the beaches in Toronto. They have fantastic sours.
Let's talk about the issues then. Tariffs, trade, and becoming the 51st state are all issues that are very high on the minds of voters right now. It is the reason the Conservatives are holding this election. What is your party strategy for dealing with these American threats?
Well, as I said before, any sort of offensive on American aggression would be a federal issue. So Mike Schreiner would work with the rest of the premiers of the provinces to work together with the feds. Something that we can do on our side of the border is do what all the other provinces are doing, divesting our trade partners, breaking down interprovincial trade barriers. We need a free trade agreement for Canada. And that's something that can be directed by personal choices as well.
Okay. You just said a bunch of things that I think every other party is saying very similar things. What distinguishes the Green Party from what the others are saying?
It goes down to leadership. Who is a leader that we can trust? Mike Schreiner, I honestly believe, is the champion that Ontario needs. Bonnie Crombie's really only benefit is that she's not Doug Ford. That's all she's running on. So that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in a voter.
Well, you said Mike Schreiner is the guy for the job, but what makes him the guy for the job over Doug Ford or Bonnie Crombie? What is it about him that makes him unique that people should be supporting him?
That's also a great question. And what I would have to say to that is really my experience with working with him. Right from the get-go, I was told being green is a license to be yourself. Also, being green is an understanding that there's something more important than private wealth. It's our community. It's our environment. It's where we live. Doug Ford doesn't care about Northumberland.
What makes you say that?
Well, they've recently introduced legislature that is using our tax dollars to rip out perfectly good bike lanes that are proven to reduce congestion.
But that's in Toronto.
Yes.
You said Northumberland.
That's true. However, they use that to distract people from the fact that they're eroding land rights so that they can build highways to nowhere. That does affect Northumberland. And I know from living in this community that people still remember when there was no 401. It's scary. It's very overarching legislature, and people should take it seriously.
The fastest way to a voter's heart is through their wallet. Now, the Green Party is saying it will lower taxes for everyday Ontarians. People making $65,000 per year will get a break, saving up to $1,700 annually. You look at that number, and that barely covers 1 month's rent for an apartment in Northumberland. How is that a good deal for everyday people in our riding?
That's also a great question. And it's not something that, as you said, will make a huge difference in its own right. It has to be part of a holistic approach to reducing the cost of living for the people in Ontario and the people in Northumberland. So it's good. I think we need more legislature like that, but it's not the only thing we can be doing.
So what are some of the other things then we should be doing?
Something that I am very vocal on is transit. GO stands for the Government of Ontario. It is their mandate to provide regional transit. However, in Northumberland, we all have to drive. It's increasing our cost of living exponentially. People don't want to have to drive. People don't want to have to spend 5 hours a day on the 401. There's lots of things we can do to lower people's cost of living.
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that, because if I'm not mistaken, in the last year or so, there was an experiment that was done by the County of Northumberland to introduce transit across the county. And they just had to shut it down because there weren't enough people using it and it wasn't getting traction. What do you say to that?
It was doomed to fail because it was something that municipalities had to take on themselves. Municipalities only have so many ways of raising funds, whereas the province has a lot bigger coffers. They have access to income tax, which is also progressive. Public transit isn't supposed to be profitable. It's supposed to be subsidized because it's a public good. The province has the ability to serve us, and they're not.
In your literature, you say that the rich will pay. How is that going to work?
Could you be more specific?
Yes. In your literature, you are talking about how you're going to pay for the programs that you're introducing. And one of the lines that is there, used by your leader, is the rich will pay. So I'm curious as to how that's going to work.
That's another great question. I'm not sure if there's anything that I can say to that that's directly out of the policy. I know from my firsthand experience living in this province that wealth inequality is growing and it needs to be reined in somehow. Income tax is one of the tools to do so. I don't necessarily believe we need to raise income tax because I see all of these wasteful pet projects that our province is currently working on. And I don't think that people who are working class should have to fend for themselves while people amass great amount of wealth.
Because some people will argue that by taxing the rich, you will drive down investment and there are other negative economic consequences. How do you respond to those people?
Are those the rich people? Who is asking this question? Is it the people whose needs are being met or the people whose needs are not being met? We have to choose how equitable of a society we have, and that is going to involve some tough questions.
Another plank in your party's platform is to end legislated poverty. That's the terms that you use. What is legislated poverty and how are you going to end it?
Well, let's look at OW and ODSP, for example. When I was in elementary school, my mom had cancer. As a result of her health problems, she was unable to work. Because I grew up on ODSP, I had to go to school in byway clothes. I had to pay for my own college. I had to work three jobs to get by. This is what we're doing to people when we make Social Security in all of its forms so low that people can barely keep up, or especially these days, are not keeping up. A disproportionate amount of people who are homeless are on such programs like ODSP and OW. This is intentional. It can be stopped.
One of the things you say in the party platform is that you will raise Ontario Disability Support Program and Ontario Works Program payments I think you refer to it as ODSP and OW.
That's correct.
By $1,368 a month for a single person. How much is all that going to cost?
I'm not sure of the exact figure.
Okay, so how then are you going to pay for this?
Again, there is so much waste in our government. By reducing the waste, we can have a more equitable society and a balanced budget.
Okay, I appreciate that you want to cut waste, but could you be more specific? What waste are you looking at, and what programs or what items are you planning to cut?
I don't think we're planning on cutting anything. However, when I read news of a $60 billion tunnel under the 401, when all of the experts that even work for the government say that's a bad idea, more lanes will not solve traffic, it's pretty obvious to see where the waste is coming from. Again, look at convenience stores. How many millions did we spend getting beer in convenience stores? How much revenue have we given up by taking that power from the LCBO? Every dollar that the LCBO takes in funds the province, and yet we have a government that's at odds with its very corporation.
Your leader talks about escalating poverty rates. More than 80,000 people experiencing homelessness in 2024. He talks about food bank usage increasing by 78% over the past 2 years. What would you do to reduce people using food banks?
I would make sure that they have the supports they need in the first place. As you mentioned, we've made poverty a commonplace. We need to address the systemic issues that are causing it, like people who are on ODSP not having enough to live off of, like capping wages at 1% for public workers.
But our local food bank, when I talk to them, they talk about seniors. They talk about people who have a job but cannot afford food. They talk about a whole different demographic, not just people on ODSP, which is true. They do get people from that, and Ontario Works, etc. But what about the other people? What about the seniors? What about the people who have precarious jobs or have a job but still can't afford food? How are you going to help them?
We have to look at what's taking all their income in the first place. Yes, we've had unprecedented inflation, but housing is more expensive than ever. And if you're a renter, you're not building any equity. All of your money is going right out the window. So protection for renters, having a housing first plan, building more housing, getting the cost of living in terms of housing down will help everyone who's experiencing this crunch.
I'd like to come back to affordable housing. The opening of the new location for the emergency shelter in the warming room was very controversial in our community. What would you do differently that would help the homeless and reduce local tensions on these issues in the county?
We need more mental health supports. That's first and foremost. We as a society, we want to see accountability in people. We work hard, we pay our taxes, we want to see other people do the same thing. Unfortunately, real life is a little bit more nuanced than that. People need supports. People need a way to pick themselves up again. And that requires having an extra hand. It's not, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say sexy on this channel. It's
okay.
It's not sexy, but it's what the data shows us. When I was in my position at the Ontario HIV Treatment Network, a lot of the data that we used was about how people fall into the situations where they contract HIV in the first place. And it's not just one epidemic. It's people who are being failed by society in all sorts of different ways. And it always comes back to putting interventions in place. We need to give people the supports to get back on their feet. It's not fair that we expect more accountability from someone who's been living in a tent for 2 years than we do from our elected officials.
How do you feel about the Conservatives' plans to shut down safe consumption sites and open homelessness and addiction recovery treatment hubs instead?
It's decisions like this that make me believe that Doug has no clue what he's doing. Safe consumption sites are proven to work. they keep people out of emergency rooms. They keep people alive so that one day they can become members of productive members of society again. When you close safe consumption sites, schoolyards become consumption sites. It's the same logic as a bar. You wouldn't want people swigging Jack Daniels outside of the school. We don't want people doing drugs outside of the school. People are going to use. It's a fact. It's an addiction issue. They're going to use. That is a fact we have to accept, and we have to work with people where they're at.
So then what would be the Green Party's approach to this part of the issue? Would you transform something like 310 Division Street, the emergency shelter and warming room, into some form of what? Like, what would you use places like this for, and how would you approach this problem?
I would invest in a workforce, PSWs, caseworkers, give them the tools to actually do the job rather than having them burn out trying to solve a systemic issue they can't solve themselves. This is intentional. We've created places where people who have nowhere else to go are being bundled together. They're not being given the mental health resources that they need. And plus, there are people who are all in similar situations being clumped together. I'm doing Dry February right now. If I had a roommate that was drinking every day, I would want to drink too. It's just a fact.
Forgive me, but when I talk to people like the executive director at 310 Division, or people in mental health, or the police, or mental health services, or anybody else that I've talked to, they are constantly offering opportunities to help these people get out of the situations that they're in, that they're offered time and time again. But these people, they make their choices that they make. And so I'm not clear when you talk about what you're talking about to solve this problem, that it's really going to tackle it at the heart of the issue.
Well, there is a big difference between a shelter bed and a treatment bed. Having someone go into a shelter, not letting them use at all, and then kicking them out if they do fall off the bandwagon. It may work for some people. It doesn't work for everybody. So again, let's look at the addiction. There's very little addiction services available in Northumberland. Typically, you'd have to go somewhere like CAMH in Toronto. So it's unfortunate that there are people who are being offered services and they're not taking advantage of them. However, that doesn't mean that's the best we can do.
Affordable housing is a big priority for many people, and you've already alluded to how important it is to your party. What will your party do to create more affordable housing?
We're going to create 250,000 new cooperative and affordable homes and 60,000 new supportive homes that are also permanent. Ideally, we want a lot more homes than that, but it's a start, I guess.
You mentioned cooperative homes and another type of home. Can you explain what those things are and how they're different from what's currently being done?
So a cooperative home would be a lot like a condo, except rather than the condo corporation taking all the profits, the value of the building is shared amongst all the owners.
Developers control the market. If they do not want to build fourplexes or four-story buildings or apartments or the kinds of buildings that you're talking about, they won't do that. How are you going to get them on board or get these places built so that people do have a place to live that's affordable?
That's a great question. I think the government has to step in and say, you know what? Paving over farmlands, not a great idea. We're not going to let you build these sort of houses anymore. They need to have some sort of work to have their operations running. So if we take those, I don't even know what to call it. What do you call paving over farmland? It's a get rich scheme.
Well, it's interesting you mention that, because I was going to ask you. Late last year, there was a public meeting regarding the potential sale of 1,600 acres of prime agricultural land to a developer between Port Hope and Cobourg. Now, farmers and others have expressed multiple times the significance of saving farmland from development. What specifically is your party going to do to preserve agricultural land from development?
We're going to prevent having development outside of existing borders and do infill in existing communities. So if you look at communities like Port Hope, Cobourg, Brighton, you're not allowed to build these sort of communities anymore. The reason why they're beautiful, the reason why they stand out, is because they're old railway communities. It's the same missing middle housing that people have been talking about for years. It's Main Street planning. These are the places that people want to live. They don't want to live in rolling suburbs. If we make these options available, people will buy them.
But what about this 1,600 acres? Would you or your government, if it was elected, how would you stop developments like that, lands being sold like that?
I suppose that's a bit of a gotcha question, because there are individual land rights, and I alluded to that when I was talking about Bill 212 and the highways. It's hard to stop things that are already in motion without being authoritative, so I can't necessarily advocate for that, but we can plan things better. Ideally, that isn't a transaction that has already gone through, because I think that's deplorable, especially I've got farm in my backyard. I would hate to see it be paved over for junky, shoddily built single family homes that people don't really want.
The Green Party talks about something called the Ontario Food Belt. Your party says that it's similar to the Green Belt. But we've watched as exceptions seem to have been made for developers. So could you explain this concept of the food belt and how your party plans to protect this so that there would be no chance of any of it being taken away for development?
So again, it comes down to urban sprawl. Preventing sprawl outside of existing urban borders is the biggest tool that we have, period.
Agriculture is the largest industry in Northumberland County. What is the Green Party going to do to support local farmers?
Also, another great question. We support local. We don't want agricultural products coming in from the United States. That's been our philosophy since the beginning. We've always championed, you know, trying to consume within 100 kilometers, supporting your neighbors, not belching out a whole bunch of CO2, getting crops from the other side of the world. It's part of our framework. It's how we do things. We support our local farmers. We support our local communities. It's green to do so.
Your party also has in its platform that it's going to increase local processing capacity. How are they going to achieve that?
It would be a different approach for each community. Each community has its own specialities. You mentioned the food belt. There's a lot of different regions in Ontario that grow specialized products. We have a lot of dairy out here. Again, it's hard to give you a succinct comment without a specific example.
So far, your party has said it is committed to keeping rural health care services open and accessible. What specifically is it going to do to ensure access to primary care like doctors and nurse practitioners, as there is such a desperate need for access in Northumberland?
We need to invest in the actual infrastructure. So, for example, Camelford's hospital is ancient. They're begging for more resources to get a new hospital up and running. We need to invest in healthcare workers. Capping their wages at 1% will not bring more doctors out here, and it will not incentivize more people to take on those sort of positions, like nurses, like doctors, like clinicians. So investing in a workforce is one of the key ways that we can bring talent out here.
Okay, so if you do that, then how would that take pressure off of emergency rooms at Northumberland Hills Hospital and Campbellford Memorial Hospital? Because, just by raising wages?
Because we would have more people going into those fields and having a more robust workforce that can take on the load. If you cap people's wages and you burn them out and they quit, that talent is gone.
So far, the Green Party has not talked a lot about environmental issues. This is something many people associate with the Green Party. What does your platform say about environmental issues?
That it's paramount, that whether humans continue to exist or not, the planet will be here. So we need to take care of it so it'll take care of us. We can't keep producing so much waste and think things will be fine for generations, because it won't. We're already seeing the side effects of abusing our planet.
Okay, those are good statements to make, and I know there'd be people out there that would agree with them, but you haven't been specific about what exactly that entails and how you would implement it. Can you share that with us?
Well, what's at the top of everyone's mind is obviously our carbon footprint. So reducing that, creating smarter communities where people don't have to drive. Everyone likes to think of EVs, for example, as a zero emission vehicle, but in reality, it's not. It's a remote emission vehicle. It's only zero emission if its power source is zero emission. So there are various steps that we can take at a provincial level to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that we're burning.
In previous elections, the Green Party in Northumberland, Peterborough South, was unable to get more than 5% of the vote in this riding. What are you hoping to get this time?
I want to be the champion of the 60% of people who didn't vote at all. Doug Ford didn't get a majority. Most people didn't even show up because they're sick of not being listened to. I want to be the champion of the people who aren't voting. I want people to reach out to me and tell me why. What can I do to get those votes?
Now, that 60% figure, was that Ontario-wide or was that in Northumberland?
It is Ontario-wide. However, Northumberland is a petri dish of Ontario. It almost aligns perfectly in terms of the numbers.
Maxwell, if you could sit down across the kitchen table with individual voters in Northumberland and speak to them directly one-on-one, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to support transit so that people who have jobs in the knowledge economy can go to work and not sit in traffic for 5 hours a day and come home and spend time with their family. I would tell them to build more housing so that their children and their grandchildren can come back to Northumberland and join them. I would tell them that these are good things that we should invest in, and that change is scary, but it's worth it.
Maxwell Groves, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much, Robert.